If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Market Music with Fairbairn and Russell.
Hello and welcome to the Market Musings, where today Ali Dekhan, tech entrepreneur and CEO of Sarah AI, the creator of Sarah the Therapist, an app designed for people suffering from any kind of clinical or mental health, including stress issues. Hi, Ali.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
It's good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Okay, and Kenny's with us as well.
Yes, how are you doing, Ali? It's great to have you on the podcast. Where is it you're calling us from today?
I'm actually based in London.
All right. I think it's pretty warm down in London today. It's really warm up in Scotland, so I imagine in London it's
sweltering. Yeah,
good stuff. Yeah, it's great to have you on the podcast, and we've never actually had anyone on at all that's to discuss mental health. We had a guy on a couple of weeks ago who was health as wealth, but he was like a fitness coach or a fitness mentor. So it's quite interesting that we've now got a guy on that's coming on to talk about mental health. And obviously you've invented this bit of software or the app. And
well, you know, that's the thing, Kenny. No one likes to talk about mental health. So a guy who had a problem, you know, a guy who has an issue, they don't want to talk about it because they're ashamed of it. Actually, one of the good things about Sarah, since she's an artificial intelligent life form, you know, you could confide without having to worry about judgment.
Yeah. It's sometimes it's very hard to tell somebody close in your family if you've got a mental health issue. It's always easier to talk to a stranger. I think it's same for quite a lot of issues in family life. You never want to tell anybody in your family, but you'll tell somebody you've met down the pub about it. It's quite strange the way the human mind works. Just before we get on to the app and what it can do for people with mental health issues, can you give us a bit about your background, Ali? Because I think you've had quite an interesting journey in life so far.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure. I actually immigrated from Iran to the UK at the age of 14. And after a while, I enrolled in a medical school. You know how Middle Eastern parents are. It's either doctor or lawyer. So, but it wasn't really for me. Whatever I tried, you know, I really tried to stick with it. But I said, you know, I'm here now. I can do whatever I want. And this is not what I like. So I left it. I actually dropped out the first semester and started, you know, going to technology and becoming an entrepreneur. At first, I started a student recruitment company. That's actually where I met my partner here for Sarah AI. And we went on from there. I actually created another financial security company, financial security software, and it got acquired by Financial Holding, which I can't get into much because of the NDA. So after a while, you know, that the company got acquired, I started traveling the world. But unfortunately, I got diagnosed with MDD, major depression disorder, and PTSD because of some things that happened to me during this time. But, you know, I started therapy. Of course, therapy is always effective, but, you know, it's not always available. Therapy is very effective, but it's not always accessible, especially if you're on the go, you know. It's not affordable, really. It's very expensive, and you can't have enough, ever. And these problems led me to actually creating Sarah, Sarah the Therapist, the first product of Sarah AI, where, you know, we make mental health, as we say, you know, Sarah makes mental health AAA or AAA, available, accessible, and affordable.
Yeah, I like that. And just, and I mean, I don't want to dig too deep into your past, but I mean, we did speak about it briefly before we started recording. You did try and treat your own life at some point in this journey. I don't know if you can maybe open up about that, if you're comfortable with it.
What specifically do you want to know?
What led you down that path? I mean, were you in therapy at that time? Was it, you know, a significant event, or did it, well, was it just something that ate away a couple over a period of months?
Okay. Well, you know, the diagnosis started, you know, when I got really away from my family. I don't mean like a geographical distance. I mean like relationship-wise. And on top of that, I had a few incidents that was why I got diagnosed with depression. But it got really worse when I ignored it, you know? Mm-hmm. And these are the things that you can't talk to with people, okay? Because you're ashamed of judgment, okay? Most of the time, people know they have a problem, okay? They know they have a problem, but they don't want to admit it, you know? They know themselves, but if you ask them, they'll say, no, I'm fine, you know? But what's fine, really? You can't define fine. There is not a single person on earth who can say, no, I'll never need therapy, you know? But that being said, I started therapy. But the reason that I quit therapy again was, you know, I thought I was judged, even though it was with a therapist. I actually changed therapist 3 times. But, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, you feel that at the end of the day, who is the therapist? Another human being. And just like a lawyer and a doctor, they'll tell you, yeah, whatever you say to me is strictly confidential and everything. But, you know, they are humans, right? At the end of the day, they are humans, and they're going to talk to their colleagues, to their secretary. I actually had someone laugh at me. I turned my back, and I saw him smile. So that was a deal breaker of going to him anymore. So yeah, that was one of the things, you know, confidentiality and being judged. So that was why I stopped going to therapy.
And that led you down this path where you say you attempted to take your own life.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the deal breakers here.
Yeah.
And how did you work through that then, Ellie?
Well, you know, I tried a lot of things. I run now for 2 hours every mm-hmm. day. And I tried a lot of things. I did the therapy here and there. I tried online therapy, you know, with distance therapy. Never worked. So that's the thing about me, though. You know, whenever I start working, I'm really energetic and happy. Like, I'm at my best while working. So that's the idea of an AI, artificial intelligent life form, who is a therapist by profession, you know, having a very big knowledge base, came to my mind, and I started working on it, and that kind of treated me, you know, because I'm at my best when I'm working. That was actually all of the therapist's advice, that you should start a new project if you want to be well.
Yeah, to keep your mind occupied.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was this. I think they didn't know when they said that it's kind of putting themselves out of business.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Well, it sounds like an amazing idea. Before we get onto that, I wonder, obviously you are, you're very apt in tech, and you developed that student. Was it a recruitment app, was it, or something?
It was a recruitment company, student recruitment for other universities.
Can you say a little bit more about it? Sort of how your involvement was, your sort of skills in programming.
Yeah, that the company actually wasn't much about programming. We just had a normal website. Okay. Everybody created. And we basically became the agent of a lot of universities, like, different universities, like even top universities.
Mm-hmm.
And we recruited students for them. Student paid us a service fee. And on top of that, we got a commission from the university.
Okay.
So that was how it worked, yeah.
Okay. And what about your background in tech then? Can you explain maybe how you...
I started coding since I was 11. I started learning HTML to build a website. And then from there, I started learning PHP, then Java, then, C, and, Python. So that happened over time. It was never planned, or it wasn't my university degree. I started from 11.
Okay. So it's something that's always been inside you then. If you started at such a young age, it must have been something that's always intrigued you.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, my dream was to create like my own game company. Like, I'm a huge gamer. Every single game that comes out, I'm on it. So that was the dream from the beginning, but I kind of got into tech.
Yeah. It's the best way to learn, though, when you're interested in something like that from a very young age and just doing it throughout all the time, just because you love it, it's the best way to learn. So
It's how they say, follow your passion and money will follow.
Yeah.
Money will follow your passion. That's how it is, really.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's really good. So Sarah, then, so this is the app you're working on at the moment. Let's explore that a little bit. So can you sort of give us a high level overview of what she does?
Okay. Well, Sarah is an artificial being. Let me make that clear. She's not a chatbot or a robot. I hear this a lot. She's an artificial being that can understand, think, decide, just like me and you, okay? Actually, one of the modules in her programming is actually called Decision Tree,
Yeah.
It's where it allows her to decide. So Sarah has a knowledge base of more than 12 billion argument theories. Argument theory is a philosophical argument to make against a problem, okay? So Sarah's made of more than 12 billion argument theories. It's her knowledge base, their centralized knowledge base. And that's where she draws every decision using her decision tree. And whenever you talk to Sarah, okay, Sarah will try to, by talking to you, like, for example, saying, could you elaborate more? And drawing keywords from your conversation, she can, when she reaches a certain certainty, an amount of a percentage of certainty about your condition, she starts to advise you, why don't you try doing this and that? Actually, the argument theories are written by very professional psychologists and psychiatrists themselves. That was really important for me to have this written by professionals, And she would just help you with anything, any kind of clinical or normal mental health conditions. And on top of that, she has a lot of add-on modules like meditation, or sleep therapy. These are the things that you can use on demand. So, for example, you don't need therapy right now. You just want to sleep. You want to go to sleep. So you choose this aside from that. Or if Sarah decides in your therapy sessions that you need, for example, help sleeping, then she would recommend that and bring that up herself, or meditation. On top of this, that's normal AI. So what was important about a therapist was that it would remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I started building something called, it's actually proprietary, this and emotion detection. So remembering mind is a feature that Sarah has where by, drawing keywords and putting them into a text file, she can actually remember your condition from before.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a session today and you talked about, for example, your problems with your wife, for example, or work, or with your unemployment, anything really, and how it made you, for example, depressed or feeling blue or feeling sad. And by these information, she can actually remember in your next session, whether it's an hour from now or 10 months, doesn't matter. And by remembering that, she can get personalized with you. You know, she can, so she knows what kind of advice she has given you already, you know, and your diagnosis. So she can detect improvement. She can get personalized with you and offer better solutions as you go on. That's a very fundamental thing about a therapist, you know? So that was necessary to build in Sarah, and I started building it. The other thing about a therapist that was really essential was emotion detection, okay? So imagine that you're really emotional, crying and talking about your condition, and then this robot continues to talk. You know, mm-hmm. So this was also very essential. So I started building this emotion detection algorithm where Sarah patternizes your sound vibration frequency in real time while you're talking to her knowledge base of emotions, to other patterns that we have. And she would detect your emotion from the 12 built-in emotions that we have introduced to her. Mm-hmm. And by understanding your emotion, she could adjust her tone, know to be happy or empathetic, you know, or be energetic. Mm-hmm. And also, she can also, if you're too emotional and crying or something, she can play a white noise like beach breezes or spring rain to calm you down while you're talking. So yeah, very important things about her.
So this isn't just cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. It's a lot more than that. It's almost like having your own therapist within your phone, your iPad, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point here.
Yeah. So this is, to me, sounds absolutely, well, incredible, really. Mental health, I mean, it's very difficult to grasp, and it's very complex. And I think you mentioned about how you programmed it. You had experts in, and I wonder how is it? I don't give any secrets, but how is it programmed? I mean, how much is perhaps pre-programmed or predetermined, or does Sarah also learn in a machine learning?
Well, that's the thing. Not actually machine learning. There's a difference. She uses deep learning. Okay. Machine learning is like when you're using your phone and, for example, it uses autocomplete. You know, mm-hmm. It thinks that what is the word going to be? That's machine learning. Mm-hmm. Deep learning is on a whole other level. Okay. Sarah can draw on what have been said before. It's really very complex to get into. But yeah, she uses deep learning, but it's nothing like... did I mention that she's not a chatbot? She's an AI being. So that's really the reason here. A chatbot has a few ways of talking to you, you know? So for example, a chatbot is pre-programmed, okay, to have five form of greetings. Hi, hello, good day, how, like this, okay? Mm-hmm. And you will encounter a lot of same answers with a chatbot. With Sarah, it's not the same thing, you know? With Sarah, you will always, always get a unique answer, okay? Because she's not a chatbot, she's an artificial intelligent being. And the argument theories, the 12 billion argument theories in her centralized knowledge base is not actually for her to repeat to you. So she wouldn't read those argument theories to you. She learns by them, you know? She, by all of those argument theories, she learns and she reacts. It's completely different than machine learning, yeah.
Okay, I see. And can you see Sarah, or is it just her voice?
I don't know. You can see Sarah. Sarah is a humanoid animation. You can see her move, show emotions,
Okay.
Just while you were talking here, I was thinking, obviously, with drugs and things like that. They do these sort of clinical trials or studies and case studies. Have you done any like case studies with Sarah?
We try within our group of people, okay? We do a try with Sarah, and we haven't had, honestly, a single negative reply about Sarah up until now, okay? Not even like the psychologists who might lose their jobs over this, they're really excited about it. You know, we had this guy say that it's really revolutionary. It's going to change psychotherapy forever, you know, because we've had chatbots before, but on this level, to understand and learn and decide and, you know, detect emotions and remember, it's on a whole another level.
Is it ready now then, Ali? Is it something that's operational at the moment?
Well, we are releasing our version 1, V1, in January 2021, and you can pre-order now.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I was just thinking in the bigger picture. I mean, I don't have the stats to hand, but I mean, the burden, especially in this country, in mental health and the NHS, must be huge. So that there must be several markets that you can potentially tap into, you know, and save the NHS a fortune, because obviously, I mean, you know, I don't know what the admission rates are, but I'd imagine that it's probably double figures. You know, 15-20% of all admissions into hospital are probably mental health related, you would think.
Yeah, actually, it's way more than that. You know,
all right.
By WHO estimates, one in every four person in the world has some kind of mental health condition. Now, what does that mean, mental health condition? It means permanent, you know, like depression. And the other three would, you know, encounter temporary kinds of mental health conditions. And this is a 2012 report. So you can imagine by everything that has happened in the world, what is happening. In fact, a very surprising estimate is that in Western countries like our own UK or US, Canada, Australia, it's worse. People in Africa are happier, actually. In more developed countries, it's worse. There are a lot more mental health conditions. And it's usually because of economic and societal pressures.
Yeah.
And, you know, with everything that's happening right now, I know you are a, you know, financial and trading investing podcast. So you might know that there is a lot of recession going on in Turkey. I mean, UK hit recession today. And the Philippines, I heard that Philippines is also in recession. So all of this recession, what does it mean? It means job loss. What do most people do when they lose their jobs? Some of them even commit suicide, you know?
It's not good. I mean, even thinking about it as well, I mean, a lot of crime is committed with people with mental health issues as well. So there's definitely several markets you could tap into. So
definitely,
yeah. So what's the next step then? I mean, when you say it's officially launched in 2021, what is the next step between now and 2021?
Well, you can pre-order a subscription. One of the good things about Sarah is that you can also donate a subscription. You can buy a subscription for yourself or your father, your mother, your family as a group. And you can also donate a subscription, whether to someone you know or someone you don't know. We've had people like donating bulk subscription. They said, for example, these 5 subscriptions, give it to whoever you think have a mental health condition. And we are starting to build up a registry of these people who can't afford mental health care. And these donations would go to them. They will access these accounts. And you can pre-order now on Indiegogo with a 75% discount, whether a subscription for yourself or for donation. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting concept. So it is. And who are you the 100% owner of this business? Or you said you've got a partner, Noel, as well?
Yeah, I've got a partner. He's my partner in this. And he's actually a very like top-notch guy in sales and in investing as well. So Noel had a lot of mental health conditions that I'm not going to get into because he might not be comfortable talking about them himself. But, you know, Noel also struggled with some things that I know, and he wanted to give back. Like, his involvement in Sarah was, as you know, this is his own words, to give back to society from the things so other people don't have to suffer about these things.
Yeah. So is the plan to keep this company private, or have you got any, you know, 2 or 3 year plans down the line to maybe?
Yeah, we have a 2 year plan, but no, we're not going to keep it private, nor are we not going to use institutional investors. There's a very good reason behind this. My main goal, my reason for creating Sarah was confidentiality. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I want to use Sarah myself. I want to be able to talk to Sarah knowing that anything I say will be done. Okay. If we use VCs or institutional investors like banks and whatnot, at some point when they control our board, if they control our board, they may force us to sell user info. Yeah. And that's like my red line there. Okay.
Yeah.
I will resign from this company if that has to happen. Okay. Selling user info. And I will not use Sarah if that has to happen. That's why we actually go to smaller investors, like, for example, anyone, you guys. So anybody can invest in Sarah as long as it's not taking too much of the shares and voting rights, because we want to keep the confidentiality. We don't want to sell ads. We don't want to do these things. Sarah's about mental health. We want to keep it that way.
Yeah. Just a good point you touched on your confidentiality. So, I mean, say I've been using Sarah for 6 months, and my understanding is it records and remembers all the conversations.
Sarah doesn't record any conversations, okay?
All right, okay.
And we have people asking us that how can she remember, you know, her remembering mind module. So how can she remember if she doesn't record any conversation? So first of all, any conversation that you have is made with a audio file and it gets deleted immediately. But what Sarah does is that she draws keywords from your conversation. Okay. For example, user number this had the condition number this, and this, for example, got the advice number this, and a lot of other logs that she could remember by. But she does not record any conversations.
All right. But there must be some sort of central database somewhere that maybe stores some key data. I'm just trying to think from a security side of things.
Sure. Actually, you know, Sarah has two storages. One of them is the centralized knowledge base of data that she stores all of her engine and, you know, modules and the, you know, online actions, you know, and the 12 million argument theories and her sound and animation and everything is based on that centralized knowledge base of data. But she, whenever you open an account with Sarah, that account is created on a separate user account, okay? And the reason behind this is that when you upload something, we don't want it to go to our centralized knowledge base of data. When you're talking to Sarah, you're automatically uploading an audio file. Okay, but it goes into your user account and logs would go to her centralized knowledge base of data. And then that audio gets deleted. You hear her audio and her response to that. Then after each session is completed, one text file of the keywords and logs of this, no conversation records, but keywords and logs, and this is to help her understand and use it for remembering mind to recall your conversation and get personalized with you, you know? So she keeps this text file of, you know, the logs of your conversation on your user account.
Mm-hmm.
And And even we, like even me as the CEO of the company, I don't have access to that. And even if I did, I couldn't read it because it's all like numbers, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything. And that's one of the things about, so you have to keep your subscription, you know? Because if you don't continue your subscription, that data is going to get deleted, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if that data gets deleted and you resubscribe again, so you've lost the personalization. You're like talking to a new therapist, okay?
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to continue your own subscription in order to get the full extent of all the remembering mind, you know, and the personalization of Sarah.
Yeah. Just one thing's popped into my head here, Alex. So can Sarah detect, you know, say for instance, somebody's having a really bad day and they're having potentially suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. Can Sarah detect these? And can she alert any medical care? Or, you know, if it's got to that stage where there's, you know, red flags, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is actually when Sarah gets keywords that she detects someone may or may not want to commit suicide, or even if they have suicidal thoughts, okay, she moves from the centralized knowledge base of data to a specific suicide module, okay? This is where she doesn't care about the quality of the therapy, okay? She would try to calm that person down because based on our research and, you know, the as the sayings of the psychologists and psychotherapists, more than 90% of all the suicidal thoughts is because of some very emotional, irrational decision and thinking, you know, when your heart's beating too hard or you're at a bad stage, maybe. So what Sarah does with that module, she tries to calm you down, okay? Makes you sit somewhere easily and calm down. Then she moves back to her centralized knowledge base of data where she tries to, you know, give you therapy. But, you know, you brought up a good point there. Sarah will never call 911, or, you know, she will never call emergency services. She will never call the police or even a medical center. Reason behind that, we are committed to keeping users' confidentiality. If we are even, you know, calling emergency services and whatnot, that is a violation of your privacy to confide in Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Sarah would try to calm you down and then talk to you, but she would never contact an outside source about your conditions.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It definitely makes sense. Just before we finish off, I meant to ask at the beginning, Ali, the name Sarah, where did that come from? Is it just, there must be a story behind that.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't done one interview when they don't ask this. So, yeah, Sarah actually, we were looking for a name that was neutral, you know, it didn't, you know, offer any specific race or nationality. Sarah is used in the Western world, the Eastern world, you know, from India to the US to Europe and Africa, they have the name Sarah, and even from Iran, where I'm from. When I got to the, you know, choosing names, because we have multiple neutral names, Sarah, I actually had this personal experience that I don't want to get into much. Sarah is a name that I resonate with. And she calmed me down, so I assume she's going to calm everybody down. And that's the reason behind the H, you know, Sarah with an H, because it's a very specific name.
Yeah. All right, good story. And you guys are actually, you're taking an investment at the moment for this platform?
Well, we take investment from non-institutional investors, but for any amount. So our nominal value of our shares is £1, okay? So if you want to invest for any amount, just one share or 100 share or 1,000 shares, it doesn't matter, or 10,000 shares, you can get in contact with us and we'll talk it over at our current valuation. We are not taking many investors, but we are taking small investors rather than constitutional, institutional investors. And, the reason behind that, we also want to get people on who are actually interested in the mental health cause, not because of all the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have a website there that you can direct people to, Ali?
Yeah, exactly. You can go to sarahthetherapist.org, and that's Sarah with an H. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to go to the Indiegogo campaign, you can go to igg.me/@SarahAI. And of course, you have the Twitter of me, twitter.com/AliRDehkhan without any dots or dashes, and my partner's is twitter.com/Borg74.
Okay.
What we'll do is we'll put all these links out, Ali, and the tweets and the media we push out. But no, it's been great having you on, and it's good that you can be quite open with some of the things you've experienced in the past, and it's certainly an interesting concept. And it'd be good to get you back on maybe in 2021 when you're about to launch officially. And see how things are going. If you're up for that,
yep. Definitely, Mark, I'll be happy.
Yep.
No, it's good. I think, so if people want to find out more, whether they're interested in using the app as a potential patient, let's say, they can go on the website. And of course, if people are interested in helping fund, they can contact and find information in the same way. So so that's great. As Kenny said, we will put out the links. I only had one little thought, and just your opinion, really, Ali. Do you think that Sarah will ever really truly replace a real human being, or is she more trying to make help more accessible?
No, Sarah will change how you get therapy.
Okay.
Now, Sarah will completely change how you get therapy. When people will start using Sarah, they will see that there is no need for a human therapist anymore.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that, maybe you're saying, I'm biased here, but actually I look at Sarah whenever we have a conversation about anything with my partner or other people. I say that, I look at Sarah as a patient of mental health, not as the CEO. Okay. So whenever I want to look at Sarah is as a patient. Okay. Now, as a mental health patient who suffers from PTSD and MDD and who has a suicidal incident before, would I want to use Sarah or a traditional therapist? That's Sarah 100%. The confidentiality, the availability at 2 a.m.,
Okay.
And the fact that she gets personalized with me. She's with me if I'm going on a travel,
Okay.
And I can say anything to her without the need to worry that she's going to gossip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very strong note to finish on, I think. It's a very bold thing. So I very much look forward to following the progress. But thank you very much, Ali, for your time and all the best with it.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Not a problem, right?
Well, thanks then, Ali.
Yep, thanks, Alice.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
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 Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Fairbairn and Russell. Tune in next time.